Good morning and welcome to the programme. Coming up today, at the races, we hear about the politicians who went to Punchestown as guests of the Irish Bookmakers Association. Adam Maguire is back with his shopping basket, and today he's explaining why loo roll and clothing are all shooting up in price. As the jury in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard libel trial get ready to make a decision, we'll get a roundup after the last day of evidence. Climate change, are we worried about it but unwilling to take any serious action to address the problem? Professor Pete Lunn on our attitude to the crisis, and she's top of the book charts in Australia. Dervla McTiernan is back home to talk about her meteoric rise in crime fiction. Text us this morning, 51551. Email today, cb@rte.ie, or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. First this morning, Brian O'Connell joins me in the studio with an exclusive story about growing tension in some state-provided accommodation centres where some Ukrainian refugees are being placed. So, Brian, what's the issue?
Well, I've been contacted in recent days by a number of Ukrainian refugees in state-provided accommodation, and they have concerns. Now, the issue is that some asylum seekers who have very strong Russian heritage are, in some instances, are Russian passport holders. They're being placed in accommodation centres where Ukrainians are being accommodated. And the Ukrainians I've spoken to are telling me this is creating tensions. I understand residents of one centre have sent a petition to IPAS, that's the International Protection Accommodation Services, in recent days, and they've also made the embassy aware of concerns.
OK, so the refugees told you this, but you got confirmation from the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, because they're responsible in this area.
The department has confirmed it's moved certain Russian-speaking persons in response to specific incidents in accommodation centres. They also say they're keeping this under review.
So these are Ukrainians who have Russian passports, is it, or they've lived in Russia?
Yeah, we know there's lots of crossover between both nationalities, and issues like this are obviously to be expected. So, for example, it's Ukrainians bringing their Russian family members with them, and this is causing tension. Or there are situations, I'm told, where Russian citizens, particularly those from the east, may also have Ukrainian passports. And while they might have been living in Russia for many years, some are seeking protection here. And again, this is creating tension. And there is a recognition, Claire, this is a very difficult area to navigate. There are going to be nuances. Many Ukrainians obviously speak Russian. But the issue is people who have very strong Russian identities or who have lived in Russia for a long time, placing them in a centre with Ukrainian nationals, those I spoke to feel there needs to be a lot more sensitivity around this. The first person we're going to hear from is Olga. She's one of the Ukrainian refugees I spoke to, and she told me why it's such an issue for her.
We really appreciate all the help and support we are receiving from Irish government and also from the Irish citizens. Lately, we had the strange situation in the center when we discovered that some people who arrived to the center under the temporary protection that is given to Ukrainians who escaped from war now, some people arrived from Russia, and some of them are Russian citizens, some are Ukrainians, but they have been living in Russia for many years, so
people, you would argue they're not directly affected by the war.
Yeah, we would. They might be running from the economical sanctions or discomfort, but this is actually what the whole international community is trying to apply to them, like that people should feel they are doing something wrong or they let something wrong happen in their country.
And these are sometimes Ukrainian citizens who've lived in Russia a long time, perhaps people who have Ukrainian and Russian passports, perhaps people who have extended family who have Russian passports only, and you feel their arrival into centres with the Ukrainians is creating tensions.
You know, Ukrainians are patient, but at the same time, you know, it's wrong. It's not acceptable that we ran from the war, started by this country, and now this country is again here and living like at the same roof with the Ukrainians. It's wrong, and people, I cannot describe their feelings. It's just they feel it's not fair.
So that's Olga. Now, the issue isn't black and white, but there are, as you heard, some very strong feelings around this and around the kind of criteria being applied when you're granting temporary protection. Russian passport holders who have a primary residence in Ukraine, for example, could be eligible to apply. And those with family members, there is a recognition as well from those I spoke to. This is a difficult area to try and screen every individual case. But petitions have been organised, as I said, around this issue in recent days, as you'll hear.
It's hard to deal with that, also for, I suppose, for Irish immigration. Yeah, it's hard to investigate each case, but this is important for us. We made a petition, we sent it to the Immigration Service of Ireland and our ambassador. I know it's not her, like she's not empowered to change anything, but we are just hoping for her support. We would ask the Immigration Service to reconsider this temporary protection for those people, because to pay more attention when people from Russia come to Ireland and seek for this temporary protection, just to be more careful with their cases. And
even if they're Ukrainian citizens?
Yeah, because I know that each person deserves for his or her opinion. Along with your opinion, you have to take the responsibility for this opinion. And if you have been living in Russia, it is considered that you felt okay there, because the war has not started in February. It started 8 years ago, and people who have chosen to live in Russia, like, obviously, they are okay with this situation.
It's not like there's aggression or there is a standoff, but there is tension.
Yeah, there is tension. Nobody shows aggression. It's not fair. We thought that we escaped all of this.
And Brian, you spoke to other people too.
I spoke to one other person who's very grateful for all the help she's been given, but she also believes in her centre there are tensions, and she feels that by giving temporary protection to persons who have lived in Russia until recently, that they're allowing people circumvent economic sanctions. She told me about the issue in her centre.
There are people who have lived in Russia for many years. They left Ukraine and received Russian citizenship. And now when the world has imposed sanctions on Russia, they have become uncomfortable living, and they have decided to mention that they have a second Ukrainian passport. I don't understand the situation with people who lived in Russia for many years, elected Putin as a president, and now when the war in Ukraine is going on, these Russians are enjoying all the benefits that Ireland gives to Ukrainians.
Maybe the argument would be that ordinary Russian people are not responsible. It's the people in power.
You know, I believe that every Russian should feel the sanction of the world.
What should happen, do you think?
I think the immigration of Ireland should do something with those people who are from Russia. If they wanted to stay here in Ireland, okay, but they don't deserve all of everything that Ireland gives to Ukrainian people. You know, I am a person who has a very positive attitude toward everyone without exception. But Ukraine is my home, and my neighbor came to my house and killed the children in my house, because every Ukrainian child is my child. And every raped woman is me. And every bombed house is mine.
So people who have lived in Russia for a long time, they may be Ukrainians or people who may have Russian families, you believe shouldn't be able to come here and live alongside Ukrainians?
I don't think they deserve all of those benefits.
You have heard there are problems in different centres.
Yes, I heard this.
And as you said earlier, Brian, the department has confirmed that this is a problem.
Yes, in a statement yesterday, the department told me they provide short-term accommodation to those who are deemed by the Department of Justice to be eligible for temporary protection. Some may be of Russian ethnicity, they told me, and have been resident in Ukraine prior to the invasion. The department has moved certain Russian-speaking persons in response to specific incidents in accommodation centres, and the department says they will keep this issue under review.
And you also spoke to an agency working with refugees and migrants. What did you hear there?
There have been issues before, particularly in direct provision, where people, for example, from different religions or cultures are sharing very confined spaces. So I spoke to Fiona Hurley, interim CEO of NASC. That's a migrant and refugee rights centre. She talked about how agencies like NASC could play a role here in helping to deal with any sensitivities and issues on the ground.
We're aware there are very particular considerations here. You have people where their friends, family, their neighbours have been divided by this conflict. And coming to Ireland, there is a need to feel safe. So we are glad to see that in this instance, the department moved quickly on this.
And the particulars around temporary protection are you had to have lived in the Ukraine and be directly affected by the war. But for people who may have family in Russia or who may have become Russian citizens, there may be a certain criteria there where they can still apply.
Yes. So a family member of a Ukrainian citizen, so a close family member of a Ukrainian citizen, is eligible to apply. There are circumstances in which someone who isn't a Ukrainian citizen would be able to benefit from temporary protection in Ireland.
Did we come across issues like this in direct provision, Fiona, where people from countries who perhaps were in conflict with each other ended up having to live in close proximity to each other?
Tensions do arise in direct provision centres, particularly around conflict, but it can also occur where people have very different belief systems as well. Because this conflict is ongoing at the moment, there's a real need to be particularly sensitive. Unfortunately, while the conflict is going on, it is very likely that we will continue to see tension between people who are Ukrainian, who identify as Ukrainian, and people from a Russian background. Agencies like NASC and have a lot of experience in this area, and we'd be very willing to lend our expertise on this.
Fiona Hurley there from the Migrant and Refugee Rights Centre, ending Brian O'Connell's report. The front page of the Irish Daily Mail today says TD's Day at the Races, courtesy of the bookies. And we'll have the author of that piece, Craig Hughes, with us in the studio after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.